Praise the Lord. Let's go into today's teaching. Amen. So, in the month of July, God led us to study something. To study the subject of greatness. And we called it Thoroughly Furnished. The School of Greatness. Have you been blessed by it thus far? I know for some of you, it may sound like motivation, but it's not. The Bible says, no man putteth old wine into new wineskin. Else, you destroy the new wineskin. Let me break it down to somebody who is trying to understand what I'm saying. You cannot put very hot water inside a plastic bottle. You know what will happen? You will destroy the bottle and you will lose the water. Are you getting me? Any container that will carry hot water must have been prepared to carry hot water, right? So in the same way, you can pray for some divine open door, like I told you to pray just now. You can pray for some divine blessing, for some divine lifting. If you are not prepared for it, it will come and both you and the blessing will be wasted. And that's why we are doing the kind of teachings we are doing right now. Are you following me? We've talked about on Wednesday. Who followed Wednesday's teaching? We talked about character. You see, character, that teaching left for me. I was supposed to have an extra 1 hour to teach. I used to ask some of our people, is greatness safe with you? If by any means you become great, will God be at peace? Will people be grateful to God that you became great? Because some people, their greatness is the torment of other people. Do you hear what I just said? Some people, the very fact that they got to a point in their life that they had money, other people will be weeping to God and say, God, why? If you give some people power, just... I've been a pastor and leader for a while. Just make some people service unit head. The service unit is in trouble. Hey, come here. Shut up there. Are you? Just make, are you with me? Make some people head of anything. There is a problem. Because they are not prepared. They, you know, years ago, I was watching, some of you have heard me say this before. I was watching the Democratic Convention when Bill Clinton had to hand over to Barack Obama. And I was watching the speech and they were talking about how to use power. And Bill Clinton said something that I can never forget. I watched that speech. Some of you are wondering, Pastor, you watch things like that. I have read many things and watched many things. Amen. So he said something like I can never forget all my life. He said, America has become great or became great by the power of their example than by the example of their power. If you got what I said, say I got it. They became great by the power of their example than by the example of their power. Some people think that if I can subject other people, if I can shout at them, if I can trample on them, they will respect me more. Reverse is the case. They will respect you more when you can control yourself more. Did you hear what I just said? When they see that you have more authority over yourself than others, you will be more respected. Are you getting this? I know everyone's going to be quiet because the things they're talking about will pinch someone somewhere. Last week, Sunday, we talked about what? Character was midweek service. What did we talk about last week, Sunday? Greatness non-negotiables part two. Okay, what and what did we say? Excellence. Discipline. Responsibility and resilience. Glory, you got it, you got it. Excellence. And when we talk about excellence, we're talking about consistent excellence. So, for instance, has it ever happened to you before where you went to a fast food to buy food and you bought the food and you were like, wow, I love it. You enjoyed this food. And every 2 weeks, you would tell Chowdeck, I want some more. You order something from them. And then one day, you went there to buy. And when you opened the meat, blood came out. It was so disgusting. You were like, what is going on? Has that happened to you before? And you were disappointed, like, ah. Then you went back again to buy meat pie. You opened it, it was spoiled inside. After a while, will you go again? Even though they were good at the first time, after a while, you can say they have changed hand. That's what they will say. Their hand have changed. Consistent excellence. See, until you have that track record of consistent excellence, you cannot build greatness. So, for instance, imagine the owner of that business is praying, Lord, send customers my way. Oh, God, I receive the time to arise and favor Zion is come. Now is the set time. Send them my way, Lord. They shall come to this business in the name of Jesus. So she prays in the morning. And then God now sends 500 people to that fast food and they all came and collected spoiled meat pie. You know what has happened? The reverse will be the testimonial. All the people that came, that God sent to that business, we go back with a bad impression and you will now discover that they got a surge in sale and in the next 1 month, they got a decline in sales. And now, it will not be God's fault because God brought the customers. But you, did you prepare the food well? Please, are you with me? Are you seeing why this thing is important? Because there are many church people. They are praying, but there are some things they have not done. And because they have not put those things in order, it's as if the prayer is not being answered the way it ought to be. Please, am I talking to you? Then, you know what God can do? If God really loves the lady, or if God wants to help the lady, you know what God will do? God will prevent the 500 people from coming and allow only 10 to come. So that the 10 will meet the bad food and the 10 cannot spread the news of the bad food. God will be withholding the other 490, waiting for when she will get better. Sometimes the delay is that God is waiting for you to prepare. Jesus. Please, am I talking to you? So, she'll be saying, God, but I fasted, but I prayed. Why is it only 10 people that showed up? God is waiting for you to prepare. You know the annoying part? You know why we were talking about honesty some days ago? Some people will come and tell her, ma, the food is not tasting fine. I say, it's a lie. Is it my food? How can you? Listen to feedback. No. Do you know who I am? I've been cooking for 12 years. I worked in this cuisine. You know me? You know that thing on Instagram and say, ma, your food is bad. What's the response? Please, am I talking to you? Some people, God knows that if they promote them in that office, there will be problem. Because at the level they are, every day, why have you not submitted this deadline? Sir, tiger came up from the ground and ate my leg. There's always one excuse. The cloud fell down and blocked our road. Why did you come late? Ah, sir, there was riots. If you see what happened there, the riots scattered the whole area. At a point, they now know, anytime you are not there on time, Zoom meeting, they say open your camera, you will put it off. That's when you wake up and be brushing your teeth. Say, what do you say to this meeting? He said, I concur. Just a minute, I'm having to use my network. You know, every time there is issue with your network, every time, excuse, a day will come and say, don't ask her for her feedback. Please, am I talking to you? As Christians, we need to learn this. See, the anointing must have a proper channel to follow. That's why I'm doing this. I understand, people don't understand how tough it is for me to teach this. But I know it very well. That you can have all the anointing, without proper channels, it will be as though God did not try for you. This is the unsaid story of why you see this guy has been praying in church. He's a prayer warrior. When you now go closer and now find out something, he's like, I now know why. Please, are you with me? Today, I want to talk about what I've titled Managing Relationships, School of Greatness, Part 7. And when I say relationships, I'm not just talking about romantic relationships. How do you manage human relationships? See, you need this teaching. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is understanding. Father, in the name of Jesus, there is understanding. Your people understand it and we make changes in our lives. Oh, that amen is not strong enough. We make changes in our lives. We become better at this. In the name of Jesus. See, I will start like this. Because of time, I wanted to read the story to you, but there's no time. So let me run. You have no idea what relationships can do in your life. No idea. At some point in Egypt, the life experience of Israel was determined by the relationship between two people. Just two men. The entire destiny of Israel was hanging on the relationship between Joseph and Pharaoh. Do you know that? Simply because of the influence of Joseph and the way he built his relationship to Pharaoh. At a point, he told his father Jacob, God has made me a father to Pharaoh. You can read it. That was how powerful his influence was in Egypt because of relationship. But let me show you something. Exodus chapter 1 from verse 8. Exodus 1 verse 8. Thank you, Jesus. You know what I'm doing? I'm preparing our people. Say after me, I'm being prepared for greatness. Everybody read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go. Now there arose up a new king. You people are not reading. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Read it with a louder voice. Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. See, this was the beginning of the slavery of the Israelites in Egypt, because a time came where there was no longer relationship. So that means, if you read in the previous verses, you will see that the Bible actually said that Israel was doing well in Egypt. They flourished in Egypt simply because of Joseph. They flourished in Egypt. They were blessed. Look at this. And children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied and waxed exceedingly mighty. And the land was filled with them simply because of Joseph. But the time came, that relationship was no longer there. See, when you understand what I'm saying here, I call this thing the hard currency of greatness. In the economy of greatness, relationships is a hard currency. Take away relationships from my life. I don't even know. Let me show you another one. John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. John chapter 5. You know the story of this man that could not walk from his birth. I won't read everything, but let's read from verse 5. John 5. Okay, let's read from verse 5. Okay, yes, that's good. It says, and a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years, and Jesus saw him lie, so he was lying down there, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. Listen, how long was he there? Go back to verse 5. How long was he there? And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So he was there for how many years? He was there for how many years? 38 years. Now, they did not say he was 38 years old though. He was there for 38 years. Verse 6. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, will thou be made whole? Everybody read verse 7. The impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another stepped down before me. Hey! So for 38 years, all he needed was a man. Please, are you following what I'm saying? When you understand this, I'm saying, you will never again say, I don't need anybody to help me. I don't need anybody to help me. See, I need only God. You need God. God is source. Men are channels. So, okay, God now wants to help you. Who will he use? He will use what? Men. I have no man. So look at him. Look at the testimony. Just there. You know, I think through scriptures a lot. Maybe this man had an attitude problem. How can you be there for 38 years and nobody wanted to help you? Maybe there is something about you that we don't also know. And Jesus came and just had mercy. There are people like that. Let me tell you, anybody you see great anywhere, somebody helped them. There was a man in between. Are you getting what I'm saying? Anybody you see great anywhere, check well. Somebody somewhere, everybody, at some point, you will need a man. At some point, you will need a man. Some people, is just to speak for you. Just to chip in your name. Even in the world, it's the same thing. I don't know if it is the best place to say that story. When I heard how Governor Godson Akpabio became governor of Akwa Ibom State, I was like, God. Jesus, I'm not going to that. I was like, so this is what recommendation can do. You know, one day, hey God, one day I was driving in Abuja with a man of God, another man of God, and we are talking about music ministers, and he was trying to get me to invite two music ministers. And he was telling me how, so I told him I wanted to invite somebody. He said, don't invite that guy. What that guy did to Ross. Listen, he was telling me what that guy did to Ross, did to this person. He started mentioning other pastors that complained. I said, wow. I said, okay, we are not inviting that one again. Then I mentioned somebody else. He said, hey! Don't invite this one. He said, this one is basic. Bam, boom, boom. Then he now said, you see this name? Invite this person. You see this name? Invite this person. This guy, those guys are good guys. Those guys. While I was there, I said, so this is how people's destinies are being decided. So now, those people will be wondering why so many pastors are inviting them, not knowing that they were behind meetings that were done. Are you with me? There were discussions made about them. And somebody will just discover that nobody is inviting me again. See, when, you know, in life, there are some things you cannot control. You cannot control people's opinions about you, but you can control it being true. Let me explain. So somebody can say this, how you are. You are like this. You are like this. After a while, if that's how you are, there will be evidence for it. If that's how you are not, there will be evidence for it. There will be people that come out and say, see. You know, something happened one time in our church. Let me say last year or 2 years ago. Someone came and tried to cause some trouble, and the person had a bad impression of some church members. And the person came to complain to another leader, another top leader in Port Harcourt then. I said, new breed people, they are like that. The lady said, it's not true. Then he just told her clearly, she now said, what did you do? Okay, what did you do that made them react like that? She now removed the face. He said, if it's new breed, they are not like that. So, are you getting what I'm saying? There was no man for this guy. No man. And 38 years, that's the story of many people. I pray for you. You receive the helper you need. You receive the man you need. You receive the helper you need. In the name of Jesus. And Jesus stepped in. He will step in for you in the name of Jesus. for every mistake you have made, from this point, more opportunities are made open for you in the name of Jesus. So, I'm not talking about lobbying. And I also need to make this clear. I'm not talking about lobbying. You know what lobbying is? To lobby is where you use your eye to scan those who look like they have potentials. Only look at people who seem like, okay, they can give you money, people who seem like they can help you, people who seem like they can connect you. And then you are nice to those ones. Or you are, you know, someone said something. You see a girl in church. One brother that she does not like at all. We just come and say, hello, sister. You know, the Lord is leading me. I think I have a, if I'm seeing a future with you. You say, stop. Just please. He said, okay, even if you don't like him, don't you know that he has cousins? He has brothers. He has friends. You can just say, wow, that's nice to hear from you, but please, with all due respect, I appreciate what you have said, but I don't really have any conviction towards you. Please, don't be offended. Please, I hope you understand what I'm saying. They should understand, sure. Some of them don't need to understand. They will say, faith does not take no for an answer. I'll be disturbing the girl. If the girl don't like you, she don't like you. Sorry. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we've all made mistakes somehow in handling relationships, but God will help us in the name of Jesus. From this teaching, we will get better. I've made mistakes, and what I want to share with you is from years of experience, with all due respect, or with all sense of humility, is from years and years of experience. I'm not talking 5 years, I'm not talking 10 years, I'm not talking 15 years of dealing with people. I started leading groups, both groups in the world, before groups in the Lord. I started leading groups since like 2003. That's a long time. So I'm going to share with you some things. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 18, verse 14, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. So how do you manage relationships? Number one, value. Say after me, value. Oh, the energy is not... I need you to respond. Number one is what? Value. Value. Work on yourself to be a person of value. See, have you ever met somebody before for the first time and you just feel like, I want to be around this person? Has that happened before? You come close to a person, and when I mean value, in every area of yourself or in every area of your life, work on yourself to be a person of value. Be a people magnet, a person that people come around and want to be around. To the best of your ability, work on yourself, work on your appearance. I will start from the canal to the deeper part. Work on your appearance. Stop dressing like trash. Iron your clothes. The Bible says, God looketh on the heart, but man looks on the outward appearance. Have you not seen people that just look fine and you think they're good people? Please answer me. You just see somebody looking sharp and you're like, wow, this person is a Christian. You may be an atheist. Work on your dressing. Work on your fragrance. If you have body odor, kill it. And then when they tell you that you have body odor, don't argue. Once they tell you, accept. Say, tell him, is this really serious? Like, it's bad, like, Abby. Work on it. Work on it. Usually, people look at container before they check content. Have a good character. Have a good heart. See, before that one, arrange the outside. Are you with me? Learn to smile. I know you eat bonga fish, but don't be boning every day. Learn to smile. Like, people should, when they see you, they should feel like, you go to bank, the customer service you gravitate to is not the one that looks like he's smiling. Please come. Do you have any need? Come, please, come. What's the problem? Any issue? Sit down there. Human beings, even when we go for soul winning, Sometimes we are looking for people that are already looking polite to go and win souls. No. See, if you want to win souls, go for the haggard guys. I want to be waiting to happen. I did go church. Nobody is fine to tell me. Those are the people that need salvation. But when you say, hello, I've come to Kovasha, it's not by that. Some people, they can be very nice and stubborn. They can be very, no, I don't believe you. Did I beg Jesus to die for me? No, no. I don't do all this church stuff. With all the polite Queen English, they are children of Satan. But value, are you with me? Tell your neighbor, build quality into yourself. Hi. What I just said there. Build quality into yourself. In your job, build quality into yourself. In life, try your best to be sure that even if people don't like you, they cannot deny you. That, this guy, he knows what he's doing. He's serious on his job. He's solid. If you give him a tax, he'll get it done. Because you can work on the packaging, and if there is no food inside, that's when you'll be more angry. Work on yourself. I've told the story here where I was invited to preach somewhere. When I saw the list, the lineup of the other top ministers that were there, I said, Jesus, I was the smallest age-wise and stature-wise. Like, if you put me, the protocol, Brother Isaac, you are tall. This person is far taller than Brother Isaac. They're just fat, big like this. And I was the guest minister. In fact, they did not know I was the one. Thank God I came with my wife. I said, I'm here with my wife. Oh, you're even married. Wow. By the time they gave me mic, after the first session, the organizers came and said, can you take the remaining sessions? Can you take the second one tomorrow? Just take again. Can you take again? I said, no, I'm busy. I have this program. Build quality into yourself. Build quality into yourself. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 18. Please, are you gaining something? Please, are you gaining something? Oh, and you say, oh, pastor, see, me, I'm a market woman. Oh, I don't know this. Even in that your market business, be serious. Be solid about it. When they ask you to talk about that gari you are selling, you can explain to them what you are doing. You know the stuff. Are you with me? Quality is quality. Oh. It doesn't matter how, whether he's looking touched or not. If a person has quality, you people know what I'm talking about. You may meet a mechanic that does not look so packaged outside. But if he handles your car will know that God touched it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Quality. We have been saying the same thing in many ways. Excellence. Praise God. 1 Samuel 16 verse 18, talking about David. So they were trying to get someone to play the harp for King Saul. And they said, then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. What I want to emphasize is, they mentioned all his skills first. They said, he's cunning in playing, he's a mighty valiant man, he's a man of war, he's a wise man, meaning he's prudent in matters, and he's a comely person. Are you getting that? Meaning when you see his demeanor, he's someone you want to be around. Are you with me? And the Lord is with him. Amen. Number two, after being a person of value, because everybody wants to gravitate towards what is valuable. Once you look like this person, tell me the truth. If you meet somebody today, the person tells you, after you talk, the person says, please just find me like 5K, you know, I'm going through this. The next time you meet him again, please find me 10K. You know, right now, things are. Then the next time you meet him again, please find me another 10K, you know. Now, there are times where you can be in that state, but that should not be the time where you are always in that state. But there are people like that. Are you with me? Where every time you meet them, they always want to collect. After a while, what will you do? You run. That takes me to the next thing. Be a contributor. Think contribution. Think contribution. When you meet people, when you encounter people, the first thing you should be thinking is, how can I be of value to this person? So, the value that you have built in yourself, you have to now devise a way to contribute this to people. Are you getting me? See, I'm teaching you how to manage relationships, though. Learn it. Learn it. How can I add? How can I add? How can I add? Sometimes it's not even about money. How can I help? You are in a place. You know, somebody told me a story. Funny story. His boss. They were buying new furniture in the office. And the boss saw that the vendors did not come with enough people to carry the chairs. And the boss came out, rolled his shirt, empty of the office, started carrying the chair. He sat down and typing something. He was just typing something. Other office guys said, ah, oh God, they carried this thing. They jumped out. They went away carrying it. They said, no, I must finish this typing. At the end of the month, they did appraisal. They promoted everybody. They don't promote him. He said, my enemies are against me. Other friends said, no enemy. That day, you saw HRU went out. Other people went out. ED, executive director, went out to be carrying chair with a guy. You sat down there typing something. Well done, sir. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's God that knows your heart, oh. Man, looks on the outward appearance. Contribution. How can you contribute? How can you? You see your friends, you see your neighborhood. You have generator. There is no water in the neighborhood. They say, sir, can we use your gen to just pump water for the compound? He said, no, I don't want my neighbor to spoil this gen. This gen will must not be spoiled. That's how I gave it out the last time. And no. He said, okay, sorry. So tomorrow something happens. Maybe thief comes to the compound. Your car is there. They saw them opening your car. They said, leave them. They carry your battery. Remove the tire. He said, nobody could even say anything. They will pretend like they did not hear you. Sango, yeah. Sango, yeah. It doesn't concern me. Think contribution. Let me tell you, let me give you a secret. In life, find ways to get people indebted to you. Hey. Find ways. It is better you contribute to people. You sow seeds here. And it must not just be money. Help. This one. Sow seeds. Find ways to get people indebted to you. In the long run, God will start paying you back. You will discover wherever you go. After a while, people just want to help you. Find ways to get people indebted. Pray for people. When you see people going through a hard time, stand by people. Support people. Make it your lifestyle. Are you with me? Make it your lifestyle. When we talk about the story of Joseph, there is a small detail that we always miss. Genesis chapter 40 from verse 7. Joseph was a prisoner with his fellow prisoners. And he was the lord of the prison yard. And one day, he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the world, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? So, King James can confuse you. What he was saying is, he came to their word that morning and said, guys, you are not smiling like we used to smile before. What is the problem? And they opened to him the dreams they had. Listen, they opened to him the dreams they had. He interpreted them. And it was one of them that remembered him after 2 years. Please, are you following what I'm saying? Listen. God, what I want to say. Please, you will get it in Jesus' name. Do you know whether or not Joseph interpreted those dreams would have come to pass?
But his interpretation gave them an answer. That means if Joseph did not interpret that dream would have happened, but Joseph would not have been part of that greatness story. It was, see, by contributing to that man and interpreting that dream, that was how Joseph became part of that man's story. And that was why the man remembered Joseph after 2 years in the palace. Listen, every time you see somebody in need of help, and you can help and you ignore, that person may still break through, but you lost an opportunity to be part of his story. That person may still make progress, but you just missed an opportunity to be part of his story. If you cannot help, don't mock. Some people even go as far. You are not helping the person. You are not encouraging the person. Instead, you are mocking the person. For instance, I'm a pastor. Young ministers meet me from time to time and say, "Pastor, pray for us." I don't look at them as I say, "Hey, you too, God call you." Really? So when we are saying we are doing ministry, you too follow? I don't do that. I say, "Really? God bless you. God strengthen you. God increase you." Sometimes, even as a church, we sow a seed. Are you with me? You don't mock people. Think contribution. When you meet people, how can you contribute? How can you contribute? How can you contribute? So if Joseph did not interpret that dream, it would have still happened, but he would have missed out. Say after me, "I will be a contributor." Say it again, "I will be a contributor." You are in a place, people are struggling to build something. They are trying to make things happen. You just turn the other way. They are sweeping church. They are doing like this. They are just trying. And you don't concern me. I have done my own. Contribute small before you go. But some people know it's none of my business. Okay. Number three. I just put them into points so that in as much as we are talking about relationships, you see this number three, please pay attention. In as much as you need men, don't expect too much from people. Did you hear what I just said? Don't expect too much from people. Instead, give more. Don't expect too much, but give much. Did you hear what I said? Don't expect too much from people. Jeremiah chapter 17 from verse 5. Jeremiah 17 from verse 5. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." Hey, please, let's read this verse. 1, 2, 3, go. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departed from the Lord." See, there is a tendency at a point you start looking at men. "Ah, this is the one. After a while, the Bible is saying that when you start doing that, you are setting up yourself for calamity. Look at verse 6. The consequence of this. He says, "For he shall be like the heat," or the heath. That's better pronunciation. "In the desert." Like, you know what that's talking about? It's like a plant that is managing to survive in the desert. That's what he's saying. It's just that King James, please, can we use another translation so that people will not be lost? Thank you. He says, "For that man that trusts in the arm of flesh or in man, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited." What's he saying here? When your heart is so much on men, when God is coming through other men, you will not see it. When your heart is so much on one place, when God is trying to use other doors for you, you will not see it. Because you have glorified men above God. So in as much as we are talking about preserving relationships, honor all people, treat everybody well, but let your heart be on God. Are you with me? Oh, my sermon, please. I hope I'm trying. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is very important, too. This is very important. See, after my trust is in the Lord. He says in verse 7, "Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is glory. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. Higher. But her leaf shall be green. That's your experience in the name of Jesus. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That will be your experience in the name of Jesus. You know, when New Bridge started, there were people that told me, sir, anywhere you go, we go with you. Sir, anything you need, just call me. Call me. Call me. Sir, you need money? Call me. Me, I will not call you. I will call God, and God will call you. Do you get what I just said? I will not call you. I will call God. And God will call you. Because if I call you after a while, you get tired. Say this, Pastor, every time. See, if I tell you our needs, the needs of New Bridge, it can overwhelm somebody. I'm not, I cannot, I don't want to call figures. If I call figures, some of you may forget the same one. Like, if I just say something like this, you just forget the same one. You just lost. Eh? So I put pressure on God. Now, half of all those people, they have disappeared though. That's what I'm trying to tell you. They have all disappeared. What I now discover that as I put my hope on God, and I don't really mean them bad. It's not because they are wicked people. That's the balance. Are you with me? Sometimes, life happens. And you need to have that understanding that if somebody disappoints you, it's not because they are bad. Sometimes life happens. Instead, if you allow yourself to be get carried away with the pain, you'll be hurting yourself for no reason. Sometimes you have to learn to move on. Are you with me? Are you with me? Don't expect too much. This is important to protect your heart. Protect your heart. Protect it. When people fail you, protect. No problem, I understand. When people say, oh, I couldn't help you with this, I understand. I understand. Understand. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So give much, support much. Try your best to be there for people. But when people fail you, understand. Sometimes they didn't plan to. You know what I'm talking about, right? Have you not promised somebody something beforehand? You promised the person, but a time now came, the way things played out, you couldn't fulfill your word. Even though that should not be much. That should not be much. Reduce it. Praise the Lord. So I will tell you this. Forgive in advance. Tell your neighbor, forgive in advance. Forgive in advance. Also, this is important because if you always expecting on people, after a while you get disappointed. If you're always meeting people that, oh, this person will, one day, in fact, God will do it that one day they will disappoint you. God will allow it to happen, bam, so that your heart will be calibrated. Even as a pastor, I've discovered it's not always the riches that supports the work of God, it's the people that God touches. It's not always the riches. By the grace of God, I've met some real big people. And thank God I had the wisdom early enough not to start telling them, oh, sir, you know, we need. One of them told me, he said, see, this is your church something. Don't call me. In my mind, I'm like, did I ever call you? Am I planning to call you? I think he's used to maybe pastors calling him and calling me. He said, that's how this one's be calling me. Yeah. Nothing, I just built a factory for $2 billion. I bought a house in London for $300 million. And you are saying it in my front. Thank God I'm not a canal man. If you don't know, sir, I beg. sir, please. See, leave that to you, said, help me. Someone says, sir, I don't need too much. Just $1 million is okay. Don't do $300. Praise God. Father, we thank you for our children, church. Don't worry. We'll soon commence that construction behind here. Amen. 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 Number four, understand the nature of the relationship. Ha, this please, from here, don't sleep. If you are sleeping, it's time to wake up. Amen? From here, understand the nature of the relationship. Your relationship with your parents is not the same relationship with your boss. The relationship you have with your friends is not exactly the same with your pastor. Are you with me? The relationship you have with your dating partner is not the same relationship you have with your pastor, your friends, or your boss. Now, relationship can grow. Are you with me? Your pastor can eventually become your friend. But sometimes, at the beginning phase, your pastor is not your friend. But it should grow to become that way. Are you with me? Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Your boss is not your friend. He can grow to become your friend. Your boss is not your daddy. You see all those places where you come to the office and say, you know, in this office, we are all family. See, don't believe them too much. And now start misbehaving. Now be free. Misbehaving in the office. They tell you to do work. Say, don't worry, we are family, daddy. The day they will fire you like this, they will fire you like this, they will forget that you are their relative. Oh, see, when you come to the office, get the job done before any other play, before any other, we are family, we are brethren, we are eating together, office get together. Don't get carried away. Get the job done first. Get the job done first. Are you with me? Can you say after me, get the job done first? Guess what? They only want to do family with the person who is making progress. Please, am I teaching you something? You must have discretion. Discretion. You must be observant. And you see, for all these kinds of relationships, there are rules. There are rules. We cannot talk about all of them now, but there are rules. Proverbs 2, verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. It's not in the office. You go and start opening all your personal issues, how you are dating this guy, things went wrong. You say, I'm just bonding with your boss. Your boss, they look and say, this guy is unstable. This guy, she did this guy, did this guy, did this guy, this guy. No, that promotion will not give her. No. In the office, you have to know where there are some things to protect. Are you with me? Please, am I talking to you? Your parents at home, your pastor is separate from... Are you with me? You mature. You get matured. You don't talk about things anyhow. You don't just open yourself to anybody. Now, as you grow, and you will begin to work and you will begin to get together, a time can come that can happen. Where gradually, the lines, two of you and your people in your office, you start getting that close. Wait for that time. Are you with me? Wait for that time. There are things you open up to your pastor. Your pastor is I won't judge you. I'm sent to help you. You can, oh, pastor, I've been through this. Don't do that to your boss, though. Then your boss now says, okay, you have this week off. You have next week off. Sir, I want to be on. I want to come back on. I'm not having any week off again. You must understand relationships with people above you, people at your level, people below you. Please, do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Number five. Now, this is an offshoot of number four. Learn how to manage assets. Learn how to manage assets. Under this, I have 4 points. God, see. Before 11:30, we are done. Amen. Learn how to manage assets. And under this, number one, under managing assets, honor people and avoid over-familiarity. Let me tell you, with this one, for everybody, honor people and avoid over-familiarity. Everybody, your wife, your husband, your parents, your friends, honor them well. Your friend sends you a recharge card of 2K. Don't say, baby girl, now this month you go send me. No, you sent me this, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate. Don't say, we are Jesus now. We have known since the day they created Adam. You now start treating the relationship anyhow. You'll be shocked. Are you with me? Your friend shows up for your birthday. Thank them. Let me tell you, in life, nobody owes you anything. Nobody owes you anything. If they say they will not support you, you cannot kill them. So when they show up for you, thank them. Don't take anybody for granted. Don't take anybody. Are you with me? Your wife, don't take her for granted. Your husband, don't take him for granted. He shows up for you. He gives you money. She cooks for you. Tell her thank you. She shows up for you. Tell her thank you. Thank you. No familiarity. Are you with me? Don't take people for granted, because people will always gravitate towards the places that they are honored. Are you with me? Somebody pays your school fees, just say, thanks. Okay. Wahala na double double. Na double double. Hey, wahala deo. No over familiarity. You know, your boss says, your boss says, come, let's go out for lunch. You finish eating. You now start coming to the office. Okay, how you doing now? You just start playing with him anyhow. He say, so this is how it is. You will never go out again. And actually, in relationships too, the same principle that applies, he that is faithful in little is faithful in much. If you are faithful and you understand how to handle access, you honor people properly, they will not give you more access. A day will not come where that man that is almost unreachable will call you to his office. A day will come, he will take you to his house. Are you with me? Gradually, you are now beginning to enter higher places because you have handled access properly in lower places. Are you getting me? I've learned this. Praise the Lord. Number two, under learning how to manage access, respect your boundaries. Know your boundaries and respect them. Whenever you cross your boundaries, there are consequences. Know your boundaries and respect them. Whenever you cross your boundaries, there are consequences. Oh, we say water is life. Water is life. What if you drink water? Everybody needs to drink water. Our body is 80% water. Let the ocean overflow. Water will become dead. Because there are boundaries. Are you getting what I'm saying? If the sun keeps on shining and does not know when to stop, it will cause a problem. That's why, in my opinion, the most important part of a car is the brake. There must be a place to say, stop! Stop! Know your boundaries and respect them. Let me tell you, for everybody, there are boundaries. I'm your spiritual father, your pastor, lead pastors. There are some things I cannot do. I cannot see you talking to your mother and say, hey, mommy, wait. See, I want to tell you something. I'm warning you. You look at me and say, pastor, it has not reached like that. Like, as your pastor, there are some things I cannot ask you. I have limits. Are you getting me? For me to get to certain places in your life, you need this. That's why there's something called submission. All of you are members of the church, but it's not everybody that is submitted to New Breed and to me the same way. There are some people in this church, I know their salary. There are some people I will not ask, because if I ask, they'll look at me and say, Pastor, why are you asking my salary? Like, why? Like, what? Since when? When did this start? But I have some other sons that I can ask, because that's the level of their submission. Are you with me? And the ones that I know, they know I'm not asking you to say, hey, you know, some people, once it's end of the month, say, oh my, that money don't enter. Please, you must send me right now that sheet. If you don't sow this dangerous sheet, there will be a siege. Do I believe in seed sowing? Yes. Do we have needs? Yes. Are there things the church needs to do? Very, very important and pressing. But there are boundaries I don't cross. Are you with me? Pastor Henny is my spiritual son. Today is his birthday. Him and his wife, since they got married, I have never entered their room. Never. So say, say, Pastor, I said, me.
I used to respect my boundary.
He said, Pastor, it's not like, it's not that deep. I said,
but it's that deep, it's that deep. That deep.
Sometimes, you see, when somebody helps you and you are thanking the person says, don't mention. Mention, no. Somebody helps you and you say, sir, you did this for me. Thank you so much. I'm grateful. You say, ah, what are you doing? I don't know. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. Mention, thank them.
Oh, God.
If you have Ochim, if you have experience like me, years ago, we held a program. Years ago, held a powerful program. A lady bought rice for everybody. She said, don't worry, Pastor. We will prepare this food for the congregation. I said, ma, we need to call you out and thank you. We cannot let you go. She said, don't call me, oh. I don't want that kind of thing. Don't call me. We begged her. I said, ma, you have done so much for us. We have to pray for you. She said, no. And me, I was like, wow, this man is really deep, man. God, this man is deep in the Lord. She doesn't want any praise of men, but of God only. On the day of the program, they shared food. The usher now made a mistake. Did not give her. Hey!
Oh. Hey,
that was when I knew that she wanted that Thanksgiving. She went where the gentleman said, all of you, you are stupid. So the people were wondering. They were wondering, why is this woman shouting? They were shouting, how dare you? Don't you know I'm the one that provided this food? You did not. Look at the nonsense you gave me. Kicking the woman, she shouted at them, stormed out, entered the car, drove away. Bah!
Hey! They called me and said, Pastor, there's a problem. And me, I said, you say, why you not give her food?
Oh! Do you know? That matter. I and my wife knelt down to be begging the woman. I don't know that I learned. Say,
and then it was not wife, it was Sister Faith.
Then I now learned that, you must thank them. Don't do others. Mention. Thank them. Thank them to the point you are sure that they have received the Thanksgiving. I'm serious, so.
That's why maybe you want to say, Pastor, the pastor used to just thank you and finish us. I'm telling you where I learned it from.
When pastor feels like he makes a mistake, pastor will say, I'm sorry. I will tell you sorry to you. I'm sure you are forgiving me because I have learned. Human beings can hide things in their hearts. They can claim that they are okay, but they are not okay. Understand the nature of relationship. You manage assets. Respect your boundaries. Know when you don't just put your mouth in people's matter without their invitation. Two people are just talking about something. You just come in. You just put your mouth. One day, they will make you recognize your boundary. Are you following me? You don't just, there are some things you just quietly pretend like it doesn't concern you. There are some matters that are so high. You don't. For instance, I'm a minister of the gospel. There are things that people, that I will be with senior pastors, top men of God. They are talking about one minister, one place. And I say, what do you think? Sir, we just serve God. God is faithful. We give our all to Him. I've been in top meetings. My father in the Lord is there. There is a minister. My wife will be there now. She will be with me. They are saying, have you heard what that man of God? This is the man of God. This man of God. David, what is it? I say, if we can just focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. It's not my mouth. You will hear my opinion. No. Because it's beyond me. Are you with me? You need to know what is beyond you. You know what is beyond you. Have you not seen some elders? Your wedding. They will know about it, though, but if you don't invite them, they will not come. You know why? They are trying to tell you that I cannot step into your matter without you calling me in. That's what they are trying to teach you. They will say, I don't know. He says, sir, you heard now. He says, you did not come and tell. Are you with me? That's boundary. After boundary, sense of proportion. Oh, God. So much to teach.
They gave you perfume to just pray small, you finished it. Guy, please, if I offended you, I'm sorry. I'm just saying, see, I'm trying to prepare you for greatness. Are you with me? In the office, they are sharing granola. They just gave you a bottle of granola. You turned the whole thing, finished everything. Sense of proportion. You know when to stop. It still is an offshoot of boundary. Please, am I talking to you? How do you feel? Somebody that just came to your house, he just came. First time visitor walks into your room. Walks into everywhere. You say, please, feel at home. The person had to be feel at home, word for word. Now when I took the remote, bah, sat down on the type on chair, change the TV, I want to watch Z World. Hey, after a while, you're like, why did I say feel at home? Why? The person does not understand sense of, next time, you say the truth, will you allow the person to your house? Say, I want to come. Say, no, actually, we have visitors. We are busy. You'll be looking for an excuse to dodge the person. Let the person not come to the house. Because the person does not understand sense of proportion. They say, go and take food. You went to go and put 8 meats because you saw the place full of meat. You are a first timer. Just take one. That doesn't even allow you to take. Ask them, please, can I take one? They say, oh, you can take more than one. Take one. If the person is really serious about you taking more than one, let the person come and give you. Are you with me? These things I'm saying, these are the small, small things that just make people just keep people out of open doors, kick people out of circles, kick people. Even in ministry, the same thing. They invite you. Pastor invited you to sing. You start laying hands on people. Say, sir, the Lord is leading me to do impartation. You did not tell him in the room, or you didn't tell him in the office that you want to do impartation. It's when you came to the stage, you can't carry your shofar. It's time. Your time has finished. That's why you say it's time. They gave you 5 minutes. You don't know that they are testing you. Later, they will give you 10. Later, they will give you 15. Later, they will give you 20 minutes. But that 5 minutes, you say, everything I came with, I must release. Because your general was here, I must release everything. Everything. Then you now bring out your suit and say, it's time. Then the church leader is looking at you and say, well done. They are just calm, trying to manage the. If it's some other places, they may stand and carry you out of that place. Sense of proportion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God, help me. Okay, we can finish. Still under us, learn how to manage assets, good communication. Learn to communicate well. Learn to check on people, all the relevant people in your life. After this service, go and call them. People helped you in school, and we have become so big, you don't have time to check on them. Say, sir, what? I just called to tell you thank you. Every time I think about what you've done for me, I just feel like I should say thank you. Sir, that's why I just called to greet and to say thank you. That's all. Are you with me? Check on them. Your parents, check on them. Your parents. You don't just leave your parents hanging. When last did you carry your phone? Daddy, how are you? Mommy, how are you? You check on them. Good communication. You communicate with your friends, everybody. You keep tabs on them. Are you with me? See, if you do what I'm saying, there are some people, God has been putting it in their heart to favor you. It's your call that remind them. And it's not because your motive should be that. As you see your call, it's true. I'm supposed to do something for this person. Good communication. Praise the Lord. During Christmas break, and not in the office, sir, I just called to greet you. I just called to check on you. So how is everything? How is your family? How are you doing? There are some people that, the way they are demeanor, they don't ask me that, what's your business? You study the demeanor. There are some people that you can talk to like that. Some people, they have already warned you, giving you warning, 100 miles away, don't come close. You just respect. Are you with me? Are you with me? Hey, amen. Now, when I was talking about sense of proportion, I want to put a balance here. You need to know where sense of proportion needs to apply. So, for instance, if you are in a work meeting and they ask you to deliver, don't be doing sense of proportion there. Don't be doing humility and humility. Say, talk. I don't want to talk too much. Talk! You are in the office. Don't do sense of proportion. Let it be that, you overknow this thing. Are you with me? When it comes to office, deliver well. If I let them say, you like to show that you know, deliver very, very, very well. Don't do sense of proportion there. But when you come to personal, other issues outside work-related, that's when you can start doing sense of proportion. Do you get what I'm trying to say? It's a long teaching, but today we'll finish. Number six, manage conflicts gently. Manage conflicts gently. Proverbs 19, verse 11 says, the discretion of a man differeth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Read that verse again, everybody. The discretion of a man differeth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. So he's saying, whenever people are trying to get you offended, it is glory to you to overlook it. You show a new level of steeze and composure when you can see people trying to offend you and you just walk over it. It is his glory. Are you with me? Oh, please, are you with me? It's not everything you say, today we go dig out the matter. You've been digging since your shovel is bad. You are still digging. It is his glory. Know what to ignore. There are some things you just ignore. Handle conflicts gently. Gently. Also, in conflict, know the difference between correction and destruction. When people tell you, I don't like this thing, listen to them. When they correct you, don't just say every time you used to complain. If they correct you about a thing, listen to them. When your spouse is complaining about something, listen to them. When your friends are complaining about something, maybe there's a way you play and the person doesn't like it. Don't play with my name like that. Listen to them. Are you with me? Some people, they play some kind of play, just come hit your head from behind. You used to be boy. Bah. And the person says, I don't like that kind of play. You say, can somebody play with you again? Is your head not like a pure mango? And the person is telling you, I don't like this thing. You are still going on. That's correction, not destruction. Destruction is, instead of the person to talk to you one-on-one, the person goes and tells every important person in your life that you are a bad person. So you see, the person is not out to correct you, he's out to destroy you. When you see people like that instead of them to correct you personally and deal with you, they go and talk to every important person in your life and try to destroy your name, run away. That's a destroyer. Are you with me? Are you with me? And finally, know when to walk away, but close the door gently. Did you hear what I said? There are some times where you have done everything. Some people are just, whether we like it or not, some people are difficult. Some people can never be pleased. They have a morbid desire to be pleased. You can never please them. You can never. When you have tried and it's not working, walk away peacefully, but close the door gently. Are you blessed? Jump on your feet and give him praise.